Good morning, everybody. How are you all doing? This morning, I'm continuing our kind of mini-series on honour. Andy Reid spoke about it 3 weeks ago, which is absolutely fantastic. He kind of laid a foundation for the topic of honour and a theology. So if you missed that, I would encourage you to download it from the River Church website. And then the week after that was River Together. And then last week, Colin spoke fantastic. Lee at Keith and Kaz's dedication of Bella, which I'm sure you agree was an absolutely great morning. And I just want to just thank all the people who were just involved in just making that such a great morning. Thank you, Jill, Stonehill and Glynis, you know, and the other guys who did kids work. We just got so much good feedback from so many of the families, and some people are thinking of coming back but aren't around this week. And I just felt like it was a really good morning. And Keith and Kaz said that when talking to a whole bunch of their friends that they were really touched by God. So I just want to, you know, sincerely thank, you know, everyone who's involved in just making that like a really good morning. So, can we just play the video? Andy kind of laid the foundation that honour is kind of given to us by God. At the very beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And then he said, you know, "It is good. It is very good," when referring to kind of to mankind. And essentially, that's what I want to kind of lead on to. Essentially, that is kind of the grounding for a culture of honour, which is that every single person is absolutely amazing. There's no one like me, there's no one like you, there's no one like you. Every single one of us are created in the image of God. We're individual. You know, the way that you judge something's value is how rare it is. That's why a rock is a lot less valuable than a diamond. And every single one of us are so rare. We're individuals. And then you're going to go one step further, and if you're a Christian, Christ lives in you. You're carrier of the glory of God. And that therefore means that every single person is worthy of honour, to give one another honour and to receive honour from one another, because that's what it's about. It's about recognising the value in one another, and we're all absolutely fantastic. Hooray! So, essentially, I was thinking, what is honour? And for me, honour, at its core, it's about recognizing the value placed in people, and it's kind of it's a positioning of your heart towards what they do, to what they bring, and to just who they are. And then what happens is, as you position your heart towards them, you either publicly or privately acknowledge that. To me, that's what honor is. You recognize the value in someone, and then publicly you acknowledge it, or privately you acknowledge it through the thankfulness, or just showing opinion, or just through just recognizing it. Whee! So I'm sorry about the spelling of the American spelling for the word honor. I like the way it was displayed. You can't really see it. That is a picture of Steve Redgrave, and I love the fact that in the opening ceremony he walked through, and there's all the construction workers there, you know, kind of just being honored for their efforts, behind the scenes people. The word kabad. The word kabad is the Hebrew word for honor. And essentially what it means heavy, hard, weighty, and glorious. Basically, there's an authority to it, something essentially which needs to be recognized. So when we talk about honoring someone, I think it's like you add weight to someone, you add authority to someone, and you recognize the authority to someone. So if I say, you know, Chris Lenton, I just really want to recognize and thank you just for the way that you encourage me, just for the fact that you're just an encourager in the congregation. It's recognizing kind of an authority which is there, which is there. I'm not making it up. He's one of the most encouraging people in the church. What that does is as I recognize the authority and the weight and the glory in that, I open myself up to receive more of that, and so that when he does encourage me, it comes with a greater weight, but it also instills with him a greater confidence to do that. It's the acknowledgement of weight. I like that. So when we honour one another, we add weight to one another. That's cool. Not physical weight. it's almost like a weight in the heart. Essentially, a culture of honour is about the outworking of the value, love everyone we meet. So we talk about, as a River Church, one of our core values is to love every single person we meet. Well, how do we do that? the way to do it is through honor. It's almost as if it's like the life, the outworking of the value of love. So for me, if I think about the times when I feel most honored, I was thinking about this morning, one of the times when I felt most honored was when I, at the end of the big year, we got all the students, got all the leaders up, and they gave them cards and they gave them gifts, and they said in the cards, and as they prayed and prophesied over us and all that kind of stuff and shared appreciation, they shared with me all the reasons why they appreciated me as a mentor and what I'd brought to the big year, and they gave me these gifts and they said, this is why we want to give you this, it means this and it means this and it means this. And I was thinking, that is one of the times when I felt most honored in my entire life. At the same time, I felt honored. I felt really, really loved by everyone. Another time when I felt really, really honored was when I spoke at the Journey. And privately, one of the students, Zoe Biswas, came up to me. Dave Biswas' sister, for you, those of you who know Dave Biswas. She came up to me, and just privately at the end, she just gave me 20 quid. And she just said, Dave, I just really want to thank you for what you and Chloe bring. And I know it's not much, but I just want to say thank you. I just really value it. And I just want to sow into you. And I just felt so overwhelmingly like honored in that moment, just privately, just between, no one else knew. It was just her and us. And I just think, wow. And I just felt so loved. The time when I felt the most dishonored in my life was, I was thinking about that, and it was at secondary school, and you know how kind of boys are, and everyone kind of gets like a bit boisterous, sometimes takes over the top. My friend created something called Dave Day, which was essentially, it was a day when all the boys could just be nasty to me. And they thought it was like really funny. Hey, boys, we're going to create Dave Day. Everyone can hit Dave. I had the first Dave Day and then never went in on the Dave Day. It was like the 21st of the month or something like that. And they all kind of thought it was a laugh. But for me, it was kind of like the most dishonoring thing to me personally, and I just thought that I couldn't feel any less loved on Dave Day, you know? And so that was kind of getting me thinking, as we honour, it's about creating an environment and a transaction of love. And as we dishonour, it takes love away. There's Andy brought up the scripture when last time he spoke, which is, this is from Ephesians, but it's quoting the Ten Commandments. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Essentially, this scripture indicates that in honoring, we release life. So honor releases life. But why is this true? So I'd like to propose that there are four reasons why this is true. Number one, as you honour someone, you're able to receive from them. So I say to Al Bullen, Al, I just really want to honour your prophetic gifting. I want to really recognise and thank your prophetic gifting. That essentially means that when he's prophesying, I am able to receive within what he is bringing in a way that I wouldn't if I was dishonouring him and actually went, you know what, I'm not actually sure about Al's prophetic gifting at all. I don't really, you know, don't know what I think about that. And I'm not really about, you know, I don't like the way Al delivers or whatever. You know, if I've got kind of that closeness within my heart, then you can't receive the anointing. You can't receive the gifting. You can't receive what someone has to bring. So as I honour, I'm able to receive. So that's the first reason why I think honour releases life. The second is, as you honour your father and mother, but as you just honour fathers and mothers in your life, it enables you to set a standard of behaviour and an approach within yourself, which you then apply to all different situations. Does that make sense? It's not really rocket science. Reason number four why I think honour releases life is because God tells us to honour, and I think God blesses us when we do what he says. And reason number four is dishonor. If you think about what's the opposite of honor, it's dishonor. So dishonor, if you're going to be dishonoring to someone or to an organization or to a people group, that essentially, it is rooted in bitterness. The more you dishonor, the more it's kind of, it is rooted in bitterness. And bitterness just eats away at you. Bitterness is emotionally, it's destroying, physically it's destroying, it makes you sick. So if bitterness is the opposite, is the fruit or the cause of dishonor, then life is the result and the currency of honor. Does that make sense? Okay, great. Yes. Jesus says in Matthew 10, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now, to me, this is probably one of the most unfair scriptures in the whole of the Bible. I don't really understand it whatsoever. So if you think about a prophet that Jesus would have been influenced by, maybe some of the Old Testament prophets, Elijah, Ezekiel, you know, serious men of God, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, so you recognize someone and you acknowledge that who they are is what God says they are, not what people around them are saying they are, then you receive their reward. Now, I don't know if that is a reward from God or whatever. I don't know how that reward system works. I can't get my head around it. It seems really unfair to me that you receive something that they've spent their lifetime working for and battling for. You can receive from them something that's way out of proportion just through the way that your heart is towards them. I'm not going to necessarily try and explain this, but I think the point is made that the way that we receive one another is important. So I don't know how the transaction works. I don't know what kind of level of receiving of what. But I think the way we receive one another is really important. And that it's about receiving one another and seeing one another the way God sees them. Okay, so what is the way to honor? For me, this is the key. This is the absolute key to being able to honor one another and to receive from one another. It's humility. It's really, really simple. If you want to be an honoring person, you need to not puff yourself up. You need to come down under one another and just go, you know what, I really value this about you. I really receive this from you. I really just thank you for what you bring and to my life, what you bring to this situation. And it just requires humility. Simple. Here's a question. Is honor different to obedience? To obey someone, is that to honor someone? I personally would say no. I think honor and obedience are two totally different things, because you can be bitter and obedient. You can be a bitter servant. Oh, fine, I'm going to do this, you idiot. Do this for you. Whatever, you know, just because someone's pulled the authority card on you or whatever. That's not what honor is. Honor is about keeping your love turned on. So, can we get into twos quickly and list some of the characteristics of an honorable person? Okay, in your pair, you may have not created the comprehensive list, but hopefully together we might have some good ideas of what some of the characteristics of an honorable person. So, please just shout out. Is that a dishonorable thing to do? Trustworthy. Someone who lives by their principles. Wise. Fair. People with integrity. Ethical. Yep. Acknowledging when you've made a mistake or have said something wrong. Being truthful about things.
Respectful.
They do what they say they will. Transparent. Recognizing others' strengths. Sensitive.
That's relational.
Good. Relational. That's good.
Open to outside input.
Open to outside input. That's good. Loving this. Any others? That was a pretty good list, I think. You know, if I could embody all of those as an individual, I think I'd be a fairly honorable person. Jesus, help us to be honorable. Just a question I have, just to reflect on.
Are you able to receive honour well from others? And if not, what's the reason? And the second question is, are you able to give honour? And if not, what's the reason? And I'm not opening this up for group discussion or for comment. I'm just throwing it out there as something to reflect on and chew on over the next week. One of the things I'd like us to do is kind of, you know, at maybe as small groups, as individuals, you know, as a church, is to think about the way that we honour different groups of people. And I'd just kind of quite like to just throw out just a few different groups and almost... As we see them up on the screen, we think, what is my level of honour that I give towards these people out of 1 to 5 or something? And just almost just let yourself be provoked in just your level of honour towards different people and groups. Okay, so number one, what is your level of honour towards yourself? It's about how do we honour ourselves? How do we look after ourselves? How do we think about ourselves? What is your level of honour towards your spouse? What is your level of honour towards either your own or just children in the town? Children in the church? Do we honour our children? Do we honour our own children, the children in the church? Do we see them the way God sees them so that we are able to receive what they have to give us? What is your level of honour towards leadership? Those in church leadership? We're going to get onto national leadership. What is your level of honour towards other church groups? And leaders of other church groups. What is your level of honour towards those in government? National, local. I'd like John Richards. Honour you, John. Value what you bring to our community. I think as a nation, we're very, and the media especially, which kind of causes of the thinking, is so dishonourable towards our politicians. How are we ever going to get any good politicians coming up? Because everyone's going to be too scared because you just have to take such a rap. What is our level of honour towards people of other faiths? Do we keep our love turned on? What is our level of honour towards the poor? What is our level of honour towards the rich? What is our level of honour towards those who disagree with you? For me, that's a big one. And I've had to make a choice that when I hear people preaching stuff that I just disagree with, I keep my love turned on. And I say, you know what, I totally disagree with them, but, you know, they are a man or a woman of God, and they are great. And I just honour them, and I keep my heart open towards them. I keep myself soft towards them. What is our level of honour towards guest speakers? What is our level of honour towards peers in our workplace and in church? What is our level of honour towards teenagers? Teenagers in the town, teenagers in the church? Can we receive from them? What is our level of honour towards the opposite gender? What is the level of honour towards those who serve behind the scenes? For me, this is not just a church thing. This is about a cultural thing. A few weeks ago, I spoke on the mountains of influence and us being sent into the mountains of influence. And as Al says and Jeff says, to be cultural architects and agents of change. And for me, this is what it's about. It's about wherever we go to be honouring. And honour attracts honour. Like, if I start reading books about, or magazines about mountain biking, I've just got a mountain bike, you see, the more I put myself into that environment, the more I get passionate about mountain bikes. You know, the other week, Chloe and I went to see Elton John and in concert, and we were in the concert, and it's just absolutely amazing because everyone's like loving music. And I leave that place thinking, man, I want to go to concerts, like, you know, every 2 months. Let's just go all the time. It's all about live music. It's all about that. As you kind of invest in that, as you kind of get absorbed into that environment, it creates passion for that. And I think it's the same about honor. The more we honor, the more it attracts honor. Here are the following Dave's thoughts on honoring. I'm going to go really quickly. Number one, can we start using the phrase, I'm going to keep my love turned on? For me, I heard Danny Silk, who's one of the pastors of Bethel Church, and I read his book, Culture of Honor, like about a year ago, and I found it really, really helpful. And he uses a phrase, today I'm going to keep my love turned on. And it's kind of this, it's about, you know, no matter what people do, no matter how people behave, no matter what they say, I'm going to keep my love turned on towards them. Because it's about a belief that fundamentally they are good. They're made in the image of God. And nobody means to offend. Nobody means to say frustrating things. Everybody is doing their best. I'm going to do jury duty in a couple of weeks. And we were talking about it yesterday with Hannah Bullen. And she was saying, you know, it's really, really hard because she's done jury duty. And the lady who they had to send away, she stole money from an organization. And the trial, you know, it was really, really hard because she was crying and she was saying, you know what, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying to, you know, steal a bit of money, you know, to help my kids, and I wanted to get them the right things. And, you know, I know it was stupid and I just messed up. And you know what? She may have made the wrong choices, but she was doing it out of a good place. And I do believe that nobody means to make bad choices. Everybody tries to do the best in the moment with the framework that they have, with the belief system that they have, which has been affected by their childhood and affected by the people around them. Everybody is always trying to do good. And it's to recognize that no matter what people say, no matter if they hurt you, they haven't done it intentionally. I believe that when people hurt me, they don't do it intentionally. Maybe that's naive. Maybe it is naive. But I honestly believe that maybe not some people, but the vast majority of people are trying to do their best in life. They are. They're trying to do their best. Let's keep our love turned on. So if I say something that really offends you, just say, you know what? That what Dave said was stupid, but I'm going to keep my love turned on towards him. He didn't mean to say that. Or, you know, do you know what I mean? Okay. Point number two. I'm just going to be really honest now, and you might think of me, I don't know how you're going to see me, you might think of me as naive. A few years ago, I was having a chat with Stephen Klemick, about 4 years ago, we were having this meeting in the church office, and he said something to me, which caused me to make a life decision, and I haven't regretted it, although it has been painful. I made a decision never, ever to take offence. So, try and offend me. I've just made a choice. Whenever there's a possibility, I just don't go there anymore. I've just said, you know what? I'm not going to take offence. What they have said may have hurt me, but they have not intended to hurt me. What they have said may have been well out of order, but you know what? They're just doing their best. With their fears, with their frustrations, you know, with their beliefs, they are fundamentally a good person. And I've just decided not to take offence, and I haven't regretted it. Number three, if we want to create a culture of honour, which is essentially just a fancy word for a culture of love, but it's less hippie. Just have a culture of love. Culture of honour. You know, it's a bit more, I don't know, leadership-y. If we want to create a culture of honour, which I really, really do, because I believe it's just so kingdom. You know, it's so just the heart of God for his creation within the Trinity, honor going on. It's just so such a good thing. If we're going to create a culture of honor, let's be intentional about it. You don't get a culture of honor by accident. In your workplace, in your family, in your relationships, you get it by being intentional. So make a plan. Make a plan like Andy said, you know, at the end of his talk, last time he spoke on honor, he said, list three people you're going to honor this week. Because if we don't, then our only option is to get maybe a culture of honour when we feel like it, or when people are nice to us, or, you know, we'll kind of dip in and out of being honouring as a community and then out again, and or we're dishonouring. You know, for me, it's about being intentional, and then we get there. Number four, to know the Father's love. The only way to continue to keep your love turned on, the only way to not take offense, is to know the affirmation that from the very beginning, God says, I love you. And when you know that honor, you receive that resource of honor within you from the Father, unconditional, you know what, I'm with you. Today you can give out, and it doesn't matter what people do, it doesn't matter what people say, it doesn't matter how you're treated, you have a resource within you to be a giver. And Jesus set the standard, the ultimate standard, when they were crucifying him. I've said this a few times before, but this has just rocked my paradigm and my worldview. When he was crucified, the people that he created were killing him, spitting at him, treating him with the ultimate dishonor in the world. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he spoke out of the love and that well of that resource within him. So we've got to know the love of the Father in order to be able to do this. Because we will let one another down. We are going to hurt one another. And if we don't have that resource within us, it's just not sustainable. Number five, I think it is, be quick to apologize and forgive, like someone else said. So just be really quick. You know, the other day I was in a central team meeting, and we were having this really robust discussion, and I was going off on a rant, and I was rah, rah, rah. And I wasn't actually shouting, but I was really, really kind of just strong in my opinions and really kind of, you know, delivering it forcefully. And then after about 10 minutes, the discussion went, hey, guys, can I just say something? You know, I just want to say I'm sorry just for the way I just was. You know, I do take responsibility for this. I obviously do feel passionate about it, but I just want to say that I'm sorry if I kind of, the way that I communicated didn't enable people to feel free to just, you know, say what they felt. I thought that was a helpful thing to do. So be quick to apologize and forgive. You know what? This is something that's affected me. Chloe heard it or read it in a Bill Johnson book. To actually ask the phrase of someone, will you forgive me, is a really helpful thing. Because sometimes when you apologize for something, they're like, yeah, it's fine. But actually when you say, you know, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? That then causes them to make a choice to release you or not. So there's a tip. For me, the next thing is, you know, honor starts with God in creation and it ends with God. I just want to read from Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever. They will cast their crowns. What are their crowns? Their crowns are their areas of authority, their giftings, their ability to rule and reign. They will cast their thrones before God, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of you, your will, they existed and created. For me, a culture of honor is about recognizing that everything comes from God, and all our giftings, all our areas where we could receive honor from one another. So people, you know, what are my gifts, my talents, the things that I could be honored for? My ability to public speak, my ability to be really, really good at sports. This is not now me talking from my ability. Or my ability to be really loving, or the position that I've been given in my workplace, or the position, you know, the financial position that, you know, I've inherited in life, or my ability to think in a really creative or problem-solving way, or really critique situations. You know, whatever our giftings are and our ways that we can have authority and exercise authority in situations and on the earth, it all comes from God. He gave it to us. And so it's about recognizing, you know, God, these are my giftings, these are my ability, these are my areas of influence. But you know what? It all came from you, and I just give it back to you. And just that's a healthy understanding to have, that, you know, when our giftings are some of the times developed by us and we've done good stewardship, but ultimately they come from God and we haven't really had a say in it. Right, declarations. I'd like us to do some declarations. If you feel like doing declarations, then please feel free. If you don't want to do it, then don't. But I think it's good to sometimes speak things out to kind of make a stake in the ground verbally. So, number one, I am a very honouring person. Woo! Number two, when people are around me, they feel valued and appreciated. Fantastic. So, that is the end of my talk. Thanks. Right, you know what? This is all fine and dandy, being like, let's all honour one another and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? Some people have been really dishonoured. When I was praying this morning, I really felt like the Lord just say, you know what? There are people in this room this morning who just feel completely undignified. People who have just been treated with real, real dishonour, and they just feel humiliated. And I just felt like the Lord just say this morning that just he just really wants to come and just reclothe people with honour this morning and re-dignify people this morning and just clothe people in just kind of that fresh cloak of love and just say, you know what's happened to you? Well, I'm with you. And I take that situation and I just want to cover it. So just as just while Tay just maybe just plays for like a, you know, couple of minutes or so, if people could just sit there and just let the Lord just speak to them, maybe about something that's been said this morning, or just an area of their life where, you know, they feel like the Lord could just come in and just minister to their heart. I just want to just encourage you to do that. Let me just pray. Father, I just want to just thank you, just with real sincerity of heart, for the way that you love us. I want to thank you for the honour that you've bestowed upon your creation. Father, I want us to have a culture of honour in River Church. I want us to be cultural architects in our workplaces, families, and our areas of influence, that we would be people of honour, people who give honour freely to others. So, Lord, I just ask just for me personally and for the people in the room, for my friends, for my family, Lord, that you melt our hearts so that we will be able to keep our love turned on at all times. So we'll be able to love and show gratitude and value wherever we go, to whoever we meet. And right now, I just want to just pray, Holy Spirit, that you just come and you just bring healing, just covering to those who just feel really dishonored and humiliated by just the bad stuff of life. If that's you, I'd just like to just really just encourage you just to come and grab me or Linda or one of the teams, one of your friends, and just pray with them. Don't worry if anyone's watching, you know, we're family, we're in this together. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.